In particular, pages 31 through 36, I have marked if you ever want to come up and look at it. I also mentioned another book. I mentioned to you about Sir Isaac Newton, didn't I? Okay, I'm doing a Revelation class somewhere else, and I don't remember which one I mentioned it in. But this is Sir Isaac Newton's prophecies on Daniel. And as I mentioned, Isaac Newton, way back in the 1700s, he predicted that these end-time events and the judgment and the coming of Christ would take place anywhere between the year 2000 and 2050. So you can see that what we've been talking about, we can substantiate it from others, historical beings and scholars. Next question. Yes. He's considered actually the greatest scientist, even ranking above Einstein. But he wrote as much, if not more, about the Bible than he did about science. So you'd be interested in knowing. He wrote on Daniel and Revelation.
I think he was one of the inventors of calculus.
Pardon? All right, there's a difference between what we call communion. Communion basically is the Lord's Supper. And most churches teach, when they're speaking of communion or the Last Supper, they're talking about it being symbolic. When you're talking about the Eucharist, as used by the Catholic Church and some other churches, they take it literally rather than symbolically. And there are several, I only have time to give you eight reasons why I feel that it is not a literal interpretation. That concept that the bread and wine become the actual body of Jesus and blood of Jesus, rather than just the symbols, that is called transubstantiation. That's a nice word if you want to impress people. Throw that around. But it simply means that it transforms from one form, from bread and grape juice, into real flesh and blood. That's what the word transubstantiation means. Here are some of the reasons why many denominations and Bible scholars believe that it is not warranted in Scripture. Number one, at the Last Supper, Jesus was giving the meal, right? It's then that he said, "This is my body and this is my blood." All right. If at that point it actually became the body and blood of Jesus, then you have two Jesuses in the room, one standing behind the table and one on the table. In addition to that, Jesus was still alive when he said it. So how could that be his body and his blood that was crucified when he hadn't been crucified yet? So the very fact that he, even if you do believe in transubstantiation, you've got a problem because you say, well, this is just symbolic of what was going to happen. But if you say it's symbolic, then how can it be literal, you see? Here's another reason. In Acts 10:14, you want to write that text down. In Acts 10:14, when Peter was hungry and he was up on the roof. Remember the sheet that was lowered down to him and everything? Now this was after Jesus' Last Supper. This was after Jesus had ascended back to heaven. When that was lowered down to him, and God said, "Take and eat of it." And he said, "No, Lord, I've never eaten of anything unclean." You see, he said, "I've never eaten of anything unclean," even after the time of Jesus. Now, if Jesus said that it was all right to eat blood and flesh, he apparently didn't tell Peter that because Peter had not engaged in it. Another thing, at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15:20, the apostle specifically gave four things that Gentiles who wanted to become Christians, there were four specific things that they said that they should not do. And you can look them up in your scriptures. But one in particular was the eating of blood. Blood has been, and in the Old Testament, and is in the New Testament, unclean. You're not to eat blood, period. Also, according to Leviticus, you're an unclean animal. You know, do you have a split hoof? Do you have a hoof? No, you have a foot. Do you chew a cud? Like I said, baseball players do, but that's a different kind of thing. But do you have a hoof and a chew a cud? Do you have fins and scales? You see. So therefore, the kind of animals that are mentioned there, unless they have a split hoof and chew a cud, they're unclean, which means you're unclean. And your blood is unclean too, you see. If you start eating human flesh, that's called cannibalism. And that's a no-no. Even if you're not religious, that's a no-no. So why would Jesus say this is actually physical blood and physical flesh? And not only that, too, but do you find anywhere in the scriptures where the Jews among them, which were most of them, at the Last Supper, they all were Jews. None of them said, oh, no, I can't drink blood. I can't eat flesh. Why? Because they knew that he wasn't talking about real blood and flesh. He was talking symbolically, and they understood it that way. If the Jews made a big deal about the way Jesus washed his hands before eating, don't you think if he told them to eat human flesh and to drink human blood, don't you think that would have been in the Jerusalem press the very next day? They would have jumped all over him on that, but they didn't. And Jesus used other comparisons, as I mentioned before. He says, I am the door, I am the light, I am the lamb. Now, that didn't mean that he was made out of wood. He had fire coming out of him. It didn't mean that he was covered with wool. It was symbolic language that he was using. And when he says, this is my body, this is my flesh, do it in commemoration of me. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that he would not celebrate it again with them until they made it into the kingdom. And so we find that this is not supported by Scripture. And what does it do? The only basis of this is tradition, and it's to separate the laity from the clergy, and through magical powers of the clergy, hocus corpus meum, like I said, became hocus pocus, through this magical transformation, it gave power of the clergy over the minds of the people. But historically, it's just commemorative. It's symbolic, not literal. Okay? Next question. Okay. The question is, does God communicate with humans today? We pray for guidance to God. Does he sometimes directly answer our prayers? We're going to touch a little bit on that on tonight's presentation. God sometimes speaks through special people who have the prophetic gift. There's a difference between a priest and a prophet. And there's a difference between a minister and a priest, too. But a priest is one who talks to God for the people. A prophet is one who talks to the people for God. You see? It's two-way communication. And we find that the scripture tells us that God speaks sometimes through people who have the prophetic gift. And they're found in the Old Testament. They're found in the New Testament, too. As we look further, we find that many times people pray and ask God for guidance. And God does impress our hearts. God hears and answers prayers. Now, he doesn't always answer it the way you want it to come out, you understand? God usually answers prayer in three ways. Yes, no, or wait a while. And that's the hardest one. Because we always want to run ahead of him or be behind him, but never with him, you see. And so, God does answer prayers, and sometimes he will impress you in to go this way or to go that way, or to stand for this or not stand for that. And so, does God speak directly to people? Yes. Now, you've got to be careful of that, because the Bible gives us certain tests of a prophet and tests for people who say that they are guided by the Lord. Because some people, quite frankly, they may get up in church and say, I have a message from the Lord. The Lord has shown me, or the Lord speaks to me. And quite frankly, you kind of wonder if maybe they're off the wall, you see. So God has set up certain tests of those who claim to speak for God. And we're going to be touching on some of that. So I don't want to take all the thunder from the presentation. But the Bible says that we are to test anyone who comes in the name of the Lord. Even the Apostle Paul, when he spoke to the Bereans, he said, the people at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica. The people at Thessalonica, when he preached, they believed what he said. The people at Berea, when he spoke to them, they believed what he said, but they had their scriptures open and they were checking them out to make sure what he said was biblical. And so this is where the key comes in. And anybody who speaks contrary to scripture, ask them for a scripture reference or something. Okay, the question, baptism began before the resurrection of Jesus. Why did they honor Jesus' resurrection before it happened? First off, I mentioned to you that the Jews used to baptize proselytes, converts, okay, among the Gentiles who came in. And this was to show that they were publicly declaring that they were rejecting their old life and that they were being washed of their sins. Their sins were being put in the bottom of the sea. And then they would come up living a new life, worshiping the God Jehovah. That they would be living for God as a righteous Gentile. I mean, you can't change your nationality. I mean, if you're Irish, you can't all of a sudden become Italian, you see. So they couldn't change that, but they were still Gentiles, but they were righteous Gentiles who were living for the God of the Jews, you see. And so this is what it symbolized. John the Baptist, even before Jesus came down to the water, he was baptizing people into repentance of their sins, if you recall, so that they would start living a righteous life. Now, without even realizing it, the Jews were actually doing this symbolic thing that represented the Messiah, because they were following scriptures. Even though they had forgotten and they didn't know who the Messiah was at that point, they were still following that which had a religious implication. And we find that when Jesus came on the scene, that he gave it new meaning. And the question was, how did they do this representing in honor of Christ? The fact is, they weren't honoring Christ in the sense they didn't know who Christ was, you see. But they knew that it had something to do with the messianic promise and righteous living. And then later on, when Jesus was revealed, then they made the connection.